Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 7th, 2025, and the time is 10 a.m. I now call this meeting to order. My name is Charles Cooper, and I'm the Commissioner of the Texas Department of Banking and also serve as Executive Director of the Finance Commission of Texas. This is the public hearing on the fiscal year 2026 proposed budgets for the three Finance Commission agencies, which are the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, and the Texas Department of Banking. This morning, the Finance Commission agencies will present our fiscal year 2026 budgets. These budgets have been posted on the Finance Commission website and on each agency's website. Each agency will be going over their budgets individually. If anyone wishes to make a comment or ask a question, you may do so at the conclusion of each agency's presentation. Please complete a witness affidavit form and bring it up to the front. The purpose of this meeting is to receive feedback, comments, questions from the public. The feedback will be considered by the agencies, and on Friday, August the 15th, the three agencies will present our budgets first to the Audit Committee of the Finance Commission for consideration, and then to the full board of the full membership of the Finance Commission for consideration and final vote. So with all that being said, the first agency to present their budget will be the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner, Commissioner Pettijohn.
Thank you, Commissioner Cooper. For the record, my name is Leslie Pettijohn, Consumer Credit Commissioner. And it's my pleasure to respectfully present our proposed budget for fiscal year 2026. Our proposed budget carries an expenditure amount of $8,937,895, which is a decrease of 3.9% from our FY25 budget. Our budget request is for 68 FTEs, full-time equivalent employees, which is a decrease of 7 FTEs or 9% from the prior year. The proposed budget reflects an increase in revenue of about 10% to support our anticipated liquidity needs. Revenue in fiscal year 2025 came in at 3% less than we anticipated, primarily due to some greater attrition in some of the regulated industries, and perhaps we may have offered some overly generous discounts in fiscal year 2025. So the proposed 2026 budget supports our Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner's ability to fulfill its regulatory responsibilities and maintain a qualified and tenured staff, albeit a smaller staff. Key budget drivers for the proposed fiscal year 26 budget are the projections for our respective industry markets, our staffing stability, our continued but reduced examination travel requirements, information technology and cybersecurity needs, which also includes our transitions to different industry groups to the NMLS, the Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System, and the statewide examination system. In developing this budget, in terms of our process, our respective directors and departments provided their staffing plans, their budget request, and their justifications. We verified our request aligned with our strategic plan, and our proposed budget is guided by our strategic objectives. Our accounting staff analyzed the historical trends of each line item of our budget, and our projections were refined in an iterative process as our trends, requests, and justifications were evaluated. Performance targets have also been projected in alignment with these staffing plans, which those will be a part of our priorities that will be considered by the Finance Commission at its meeting next week. Macroeconomic indicators and trends and industry growth were evaluated, and we established projections for industry volumes for the upcoming year. So all of these trends together provide the assumptions that we use to project our revenue for fiscal year 26. And on the expenditure front, other than, of course, staffing, which I'll talk about in a minute, driving our primary budget costs, we face significant increases in costs in several categories, a number of which are coming to us from other state agencies. In particular, the assessment of statewide allocated costs packs a hefty punch, with the cost increasing to our agency by 1,100% between fiscal year 24 and fiscal year 25, and it is projected to be similar in fiscal year 26. Some of these projected increases are going to have a profound impact on our budget and have caused us to dig deep and focus on the essentials in this projected budget. And we have tightened our belt as much as we think we realistically can to attempt to reduce costs wherever possible to responsibly execute this budget. In terms of the industry markets and some of our projections related to the industry markets, overall, this budget envisions a stable to slightly declining industry population size as we continue to see and have seen over the last year some consolidation and market exits. Credit markets, the credit market that we oversee remains somewhat tight due to the higher interest rate environment and increased cost, as well as some other economic uncertainties. When we compare and look at our total of licensees at the end of the third quarter of fiscal year 2025, it's down a little less than 1% from the third quarter of 2024, which is, you know, fairly stable, but it's down about 8% when you look back to the same period in fiscal year 2023 for total licenses and registrations. Every category of licensing and registration, other than a small group of our licensed mortgage loan originators, has demonstrated a decline in the number of licenses or registrations outstanding. The level of credit access businesses outstanding in particular has declined by 27% in 2 years. So those are some trends that, of course, we have to operate within. And so our fiscal year 26 budget projects a relatively flat volume of incoming business license applications and a fairly consistent pattern of license renewal for business licenses based upon what we have seen historically over about the last 5 years. The budget projects a modest decrease of revenue in the registered industry areas over the fiscal year 25 actual expected revenue. That's a fairly conservative projection and a difficult to forecast area, especially given some of the recent economic uncertainty. Moving on to the expenditure side again to staffing. During fiscal year 25, the OCCC experienced turnover of a number of positions, including three rather senior retirements in our examination area. We have been rebuilding our bench strength, especially in the examiner ranks over the last few years, and we've made very good progress on that front. We must continue to ensure a robust, well-trained workforce, and we recognize that the declining industry trends require us also to reduce our staff size, so this budget plans our staffing accordingly. This budget does not anticipate any new positions, and it lapses most of the previously authorized but unfilled examiner positions. We have planned our staffing needs again to meet that adjusting base. This proposal does incorporate some targeted enhanced performance-based funding increases, including specifically progression of examiner staff along the career ladder as certain performance levels or certifications are attained. So we do have some targeted performance-based funding included in here for staff. And at this point, that's sort of a high-level overview. I'd like to call upon Moran Diamond, Director of Licensing, Finance, and HR, to continue with some more detailed presentation of some of those items in the budget.
Thank you, Moran. Good morning, Moran Diamond, Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner. I'll start by talking a little bit more about revenue. As you may recall, last year we gave a forewarning at this hearing that future fiscal years may necessitate adjustments in revenue. That being said, we did thorough and detailed analysis of future cash flows, projected expenditure increases, and changes in licensing numbers to determine realistic revenue estimates needed to maintain operations and liquidity. Increased personnel costs in the FY26 budget are partially offset by a reduction in the FTE count, as the commissioner has mentioned. However, significant year-over-year increases in operating costs that are out of the agency's control, coupled with the need to retain key personnel, necessitate increased revenue. The proposed budget for FY26 includes a 10% increase in overall revenue from fiscal year 25 and has no discounts planned for any license group. Some industries will see no change. One example of perhaps the largest increase is regulated lenders, who will see the renewal rate for active licenses increase by $150 per license from FY25. In FY25, we saw significant attrition in renewal rates and credit access business licenses, as the commissioner mentioned. Although we hope the industry stabilizes at the current level, we did forecast some further contraction in the cab industry group, resulting in a 30% decrease in this revenue category. Moving to motor vehicle sales finance licenses, this category has a revenue increase of 19.6% in FY26 compared to the FY25 budget amount. This is due to no discount during renewal coming up in September and October, as well as a planned collection of 2 months of pro rata license assessments in connection with the transition to NMLS in summer 2026, which will, and the extension of the renewal date from October to December. Lastly, the slight decrease in miscellaneous revenues based upon expected interest rate cuts impacting the amount of interest earned. Moving to the effect on the industries. As previously mentioned, in developing and proposing this budget, we continue to consider each industry's fair share of fees. In analyzing each industry's fair share in the FY26 budget process, keen attention was paid to correlate each industry's revenue allocation with their workload share and population allocation. As in prior years, this is an estimate. Furthermore, the agency will begin an assessment restructuring process this fall so that revenue across the industries aligns with the cost of regulation. Moving to expenditures. With regard to expenditures overall, the OCCC saw a need to decrease costs. Almost all expenditure categories decrease in fiscal year 26 from FY25. Starting with staffing, which the commissioner has covered some, the proposed budget for FY26 includes a decrease in personnel costs of 4.4% from the FY25 budget. This is mostly due to a 7.5% increase over FY25 in employee benefits mandated to us from ERS. The increased costs in salaries and benefits for existing staff have necessitated decreasing the agency's FTE count by 7 FTEs to manage personnel costs. The cost for employee benefits may increase again in FY27. As was the case in FY25, personnel costs represent 82% of the agency's total expenditures. Moving to travel, the OCCC conducted thorough analysis of historical and year-to-date travel data to determine appropriate amounts for the FY26 travel budget. The proposed budget does project an 18% decrease overall in travel from FY25 budgeted amounts. This is mostly due to travel demands diminishing due to SES efficiencies, decreases in travel for employee training, and fewer FTEs. Moving to operating costs, we project a 7.6% increase over the previous fiscal year. I'll discuss those categories that have notable changes of 5% or $5,000. Starting with professional fees, this increase is mostly for future facilities planning. Office utilities is primarily the increases for existing costs for the future facility. And lastly, miscellaneous operating costs. This is due to SWACAP. As the commissioner mentioned previously, this cost increased dramatically in FY25 and will likely continue in the coming years. Lastly, with regard to the fund balance, as mentioned previously, we scrutinized and thoroughly analyzed fund balance in FY26 and into the following fiscal years. The budget intentionally produces a surplus to manage cash flow needs as we change renewal periods for licensees migrating to NMLS. With this proposed budget, the agency anticipates approximately 3.5 months of liquidity for operating expenses at the end of FY25. and 4.7 months liquidity at the end of FY26. That concludes my explanation and remarks, and I will turn it back to the commissioner.
Thank you, Moran. So in conclusion, I just want to say that, you know, we are happy to entertain questions. We welcome feedback from any interested stakeholder on our budget. Moran did mention that this fall, we do expect to start on a project to restructure our assessments to ensure continued sustainability and stability of our regulatory responsibilities and our operations. I want to thank Moran Diamond and the accounting team for their dedicated work and analysis in developing this budget. I also want to thank the past support that we've had from the various trade associations regarding our budget. And we've already had some preliminary discussions with some of the, we have certainly circulated this budget to our trade groups, to our trade groups related to the folks that, you know, hold licenses under our agency. And we've gotten three letters of support. And I just want to recognize and appreciate those letters. That's from the Texas Consumer Credit Coalition, the Texas Property Tax Lien Holders Association, and the Texas Independent Automobile Dealers Association have submitted letters of support. Again, we're still happy to engage in conversation. I suspect, you know, we'll be have a lot of continued conversation with the trade groups as we move further into this fall, whether it's through migration or fee structuring. But with that, let me stop, and we'd be happy to see if there are any comments or any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn. Is there anyone wishing to provide a comment or has a question of the Office of Consumer Credit Commissioner? Please come forward. Having no comments, thank you, Commissioner Pettijohn, for your presentation. We will now hear from the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending, Commissioner Retta.
Thank you, Commissioner Cooper. We'll make a few remarks to get this kicked off, and then Antonia Antop, the Director of Operations, will explain in more detail some of the key particulars of the fiscal year 2026 budget, commenting on significant differences and or other notable considerations. But first, thank you to everyone who is attending, whether in person or online, and we appreciate the interest and the attention. We are certainly receptive to any questions or points of clarification or any additional commentary that anyone may have. To begin with, a couple of points I'll make with respect to what we based or how we operate in terms of the general objective for the preparation of the budget. It certainly is intended to cover the cost of regulation, to cover any kind of administrative infrastructure costs associated with that, and certainly exercising ongoing responsible stewardship with respect to the resources that we have. All of that's taken into consideration to propose, establish, and then manage a budget that provides the resources that the department needs to execute its mission and in alignment with the strategic plan. The process itself is straightforward. The Director of Operations, Antonia Antop, works with the Chief Accountant and drafts the budget after multiple in-depth consultations with the directors and the Commissioner regarding each division's anticipated resource requirements, expected or projected expenses, staffing and training needs, which are important, and then anticipated activity levels and any industry developments as well. Following number of those meetings, then Director Antop and I meet multiple occasions to review, one, the progress that's going on, to come up with what we think is appropriate in terms of the revenue side, and to finalize all the elements of the budget. Then, of course, it is distributed to the Finance Commission and published on the department website and sent to industry stakeholders. In terms of the context for the budget, we of course look at what the economic outlook is and look in particular at the financial services industry in terms of trends and in terms of outlook, noting what there may be in terms of growth or any kind of issues that could have an impact on industry health. With respect to the thrift industry, we look of course at all of the normal focus points and what the performance of the entities or the thrifts, the savings banks will be. And then we look at a couple of other things. In particular, I would note that we spent some time looking at the cybersecurity side and projecting what challenges may be there. And then the development of new and novel initiatives and what that may mean in terms of the impact on the banks that we regulate. In terms of the mortgage industry performance, obviously, we follow very closely the performance of the industry. I was lucky enough to be at the ARMR, American Association of Residential Mortgage Regulators conference earlier this week, received an outlook for some degree of growth in the mortgage market and some recovery. However, looking at the interest rate and the points that are, I think, would have the most influence on mortgage activity, the 30-year mortgage rate yesterday was 6.79, which compared to 6.49 a year ago today. So as of yet, that has not moved. And as many, I think, industry participants are aware of, almost 80% of existing mortgages are under 5%. And so it would take some movement on the part of the interest rate to attract more activity. In terms of median home prices, the other very important component, they have moderated in most markets this year, but they continue to go up nominally. And so that will continue to be something that we will track closely. We have conducted 297 mortgage examinations through the third quarter of this year. So we're performing on target with that. And I'll explain a bit there why that's important. In terms of personnel costs, the department has a long-standing collaborative working association with the industry. And we have a reputation with respect to team member experience and being a quality resource to all of the entities that we regulate. We have spent considerable time reviewing succession and development of staffing depth as part of strategic planning. And we did add bench strength in 2025, and that is particularly important with senior staff eligible for requirement. And I think we're all aware that competitive compensation is fundamental to not only attracting, retaining, but also developing talent appropriate to the task. So always make sure that our training budget is a priority in order to be able to provide that to our staff for the development of our staff. At this point, I will transition over to Antonio Antop, Director of Operations, for a more detailed review.
Thank you, Commissioner. Antonio Antop for Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending. The proposed budget for fiscal year 26 provides for 4.1% decrease in revenues and 4.2% increase of expenditures compared to the budget approved for fiscal year 2025. The proposed staff full-time equivalence is for fiscal year 26 is 77, which is one more than you approved in the previous year. The licensing revenues are budgeted at 1.2% lower than the actual revenue collected in fiscal year 25, as we expect to see stabilization of the volume of applications during fiscal year 26. There are no changes in licensing fees planned for fiscal year 26. The budgeted revenues will not be sufficient to cover the cost of the fiscal year 26 regulation. However, the shortage will be covered by some of the excess collected in fiscal year 25. Namely, a multi-state settlement received of just under $2 million. For thrift revenues, in fiscal year 2026, we have budgeted to collect $3 million in assessments based on the lower of risk-weighted or total assets and assessed at 60% of our approved maximum rates. The assessment rates are the same as fiscal year 25. However, we expect to collect less assessments due to a reduction in the assets across the industry and fewer premiums as some of our banks have been upgraded in their ratings. The assessments will be collected throughout the year in four equal installments. The budgeted thrift revenue will not be sufficient to cover the total cost of the industry regulation for fiscal year 26, but the shortage will be covered by excess reserves accumulated in prior years. As every year, we're not budgeting to receive any penalties so that our operating budget does not depend on the amount of penalties we collect. The miscellaneous revenues are budgeted for an increase as biggest portion of that category is depository interest we receive from Safekeeping Trust, where all of our funds are held and typically invested overnight in repurchase agreements. As a result of high interest rates and increasing fund balances, we have budgeted for a significant increase to be received in fiscal year 26 based on the actual amounts collected in fiscal year 25. Moving on to the expenditure side, total personnel costs represent 92% of the total expenditure budget and are the main budget driver. For fiscal year 26, we have budgeted 5.4% increase compared to the budget approved for fiscal year 25, which amounts to just over $500,000. The employee compensations budget increase of 5.3% or just over $371,000 breaks down as follows: 54% for granting additional compensation of existing staff to reward good performance and remain competitive with counterparts; 24% for funding a cybersecurity analyst position. This is the new FTE we're adding. But during fiscal year 25, we had the funds in the IT category as we're contracting cybersecurity services. So it's really not an increase, but just the funds are changing categories. 17% for funding newly added position mid-year in fiscal year 25, and 5% for targeted salary increases for attorneys and general counsels granted by the 89th legislature. The employee benefits and additional health and retirement costs are also increasing as a result of 8% increase in health insurance costs and increase in employee compensation. Travel, we're budgeting for a 9% decrease in our out-of-state travel costs based on the actual fiscal year 25 expenditures, which were significantly under budget. Based on our estimates that out-of-state travel will increase over the actual, but will still remain under budget, under the previously approved budget. We're also budgeting for all staff's travel for an agency-wide event during fiscal year 26. Overall operating costs have been budgeted at 7.3% under prior year budget. Professional fees and services are decreasing 7% due to decrease in expected IT consulting costs. Office utilities are increasing significantly due to increased utility rates and addition of utility costs related to Camp Hubbard. Rental costs for space and equipment are budgeted at 12% higher than prior year. We are adding amounts for rental space and audiovisual equipment fees for industry and staff events hosted by SMO. Amounts for communication expenses are budgeted at 13.1% lower than prior year due to replacing the S&P Global Market Intelligence subscription for more cost-effective tools. Information technology costs are decreasing 17.6%. mostly due to discontinuing the cybersecurity services contract. The fiscal year 26 budget includes amounts for new software to improve our cybersecurity and business continuity posture and scheduled replacement of staff's computer equipment. The department miscellaneous operating expenditures have been budgeted 15.9% higher than previous year's budget, primarily due to increased costs allocated to SML related to the implementation and use of CAPS. In conclusion, at the end of fiscal year 25, we expect to be over the six-month liquidity policy of the Finance Commission, and with the projected negative fiscal result of fiscal year 26, we expect to be in full compliance at the end of fiscal year 26. And that concludes my remarks.
Okay, thank you. The only thing I would add is that we do expect and will receive letters of support from the Texas Mortgage Bankers Association and the Independent Bankers Association of Texas and the Texas Bankers Association. They have not yet been received, but all have come back and said they are sending them to this. So we will certainly bring them to the table before next week. And then lastly, I certainly want to recognize the considerable efforts of Director Antonia Antop and her team in putting together and spending all the hours that were necessary to put the budget together. And that would conclude our report.
Okay, is there anyone wishing to provide a comment or has a question about the Department of Savings and Mortgage Lending's budget? Please come forward. Seeing none, thank you, Commissioner Britta. So now I'm going to turn to the budget for the Texas Department of Banking. This is Charles Cooper. I'm going to make a few comments about the budget. and then turn it over to our Chief Financial Officer, Sammy Chadley, to provide more detail. As in the past, the largest portion of our budget is for the regulation and supervision of our state chartered banks. The assets under supervision have increased over the past several years, and we continue to have banks convert to our charter. On the non-depository side, money service businesses licensed by us continue to expand, and requests for new licenses continue. The complexity of all of these organizations continues to increase. This budget represents an increase of 7.8% over the previous period. Approximately 84% of this budget goes for salaries and benefits of our personnel. For years now, we have strived to compensate our financial examiners at least equivalent to what the FDIC pays, and we've been concentrating on what the beginning salaries for our new personnel through what I call the journeyman level. Above this level, as our personnel achieve more rank, the disparity with the FDIC increases. Our people are well trained, and I believe our bankers and licensees want and deserve the best, most professional examiners that we can provide. This budget concentrates on, as I mentioned, on examiners from the starting position to the journeyman level, and provides some increase for personnel at the higher level and administrative personnel. As I mentioned last year at this time, our personnel are working tirelessly and we remain understaffed. Recruitment and retention of personnel is a problem. I believe that this refocusing on entry level through journeyman level salaries will provide more stability while acknowledging the value of our personnel. Now, as I, like all three agents being SDSI agencies, we are mindful of our duty to execute our responsibilities while being fiscally responsible. With this approval of this budget, we will be able to fulfill our statutory obligations. Now I'll turn it over to Sammy Chadley.
Good morning, Sammy Chadley, Texas Department of Banking. In the budget preparation process, all divisional areas were tasked with creating their budget using historical, current, and forecast information. Strategic planning initiatives and agency priorities developed for fiscal 26 were also incorporated. As done historically, cost centers for each industry were reviewed to make sure each industry could cover its related costs. The proposed 26 budget shows an increase of 7.83% over the 25 budget. As Commissioner mentioned, the largest increase is in employee compensation at 7.2%, which includes proposed salary adjustments for select staff series. The proposed FTE count for FY26 remains unchanged at 236. Other increases are related to the additional office space in the Dallas and Houston regions, reconfiguration of the San Antonio region, and information technology enhancements. The 2026 proposed budget is based on the department conducting 806 examinations, processing 317 applications, notices and filings, and resolving 220 complaints. The 26 budget, fiscal 2026 proposed budget has revenues projected at $43 million, which does not include $7.05 million in bank assessments that are not expected to be assessed to operate the department. The assessment reduction would allow the department to cover projected expenditures of $43 million. I will go over a couple of revenue and expenditure items for 26 proposed budget. The revenue projections include a conservative approach to bank asset growth, as well as conversion and merger activity, fewer problem banks, The proposed budget also includes revenue increase for non-depository supervision to cover higher staffing and associated travel projections. There is no inflation factor adjustment for the bank and trust area. The non-depository supervision, however, includes a 2.63% inflation factor. Lastly, on the revenue side, interest revenue shows a decrease of almost $600,000, and that is related to the potential new building project. On the expenditure information, we'll move on past the compensation since it was already discussed. Four items. In-state travel, there's an increase of approximately $153,000 related to a department-wide staff event conference in 26. The next two items are related. The first one, there's a space rental increase due to the anticipated Dallas regional office move. The Houston regional office expansion. In addition, lease costs, there are lease cost increases for the San Antonio regional office and space rental for the department-wide conference. Miscellaneous operating cost increase is mainly due to furnishings, Cuban and recubing offices as related to the new and expanded leases above, as we mentioned. Lastly, information technology increase is due to the document exchange portal license upgrades, email security software, and email license upgrades. These increases are offset by lower laptop order volume in 2026 as compared to 2025. On the cash position, fiscal year 2025 shows additional collected funds as a contingency for a potential new building project. The cash balance will be managed for compliance with liquidity policy guidelines with the new building project funded in mind. In conclusion, as in years past, the proposed budget is geared to ensure that the department maintains the standard of regulatory quality and responsiveness. The department can carry out its mission, performance standards, and maintain competitive salary structure. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Sherry. Is there anyone wishing to provide a comment or has a question about the Texas Department of Banking's budget? Please come forward. Okay, hearing none, I would like to thank the personnel of all three agencies for their presentations today and thank those attending here personally and those attending virtually. So with that, this concludes the presentations of the budgets of the three Finance Commission agencies, and the budget hearing is now concluded. Our time now is 10:38.